Welcome back. I'm glad you're here, as always. And today we're going to focus on how history really can mean business to you and to you and me. What's this all about? I mean, we've had the documentary film. We've talked about how history means business to all of us, all Americans. We talk about pain and joy, all these elements that are part of our life today and obviously part of our past. And over the past few days, we've been remembering 9/11, a day and a moment in time that each and every one of us will remember for the rest of our lives. We'll know where we were, what we were doing, and what transpired the rest of the day. I know I was worried about the people I knew that worked at the World Trade Center, and it just brings back that pain, just like it was yesterday, 20 years later, but it brings it back, I know for all of us, as if it was just yesterday. And as tragic as that was, and as the loss of nearly 3,000 American lives in an instant, that pain brought out the best and the worst in some cases, but overall, for all of us, we, for a moment in time, we came together as a country, not as Republican, Democrat, or independent, or whatever persuasion you can think of, whatever religious background we hold. We all came together, didn't we? I can remember that vividly. And it's kind of like how historically pain works in our lives. You think about it on a biological standpoint, our body demonstrates pain because it needs attention. The area that is causing the pain is shouting out that this needs to be fixed. Something's wrong. It needs to be addressed. And that's how pain works, right? Emotional pain, we need to fix something in our lives. Pain in every just about every aspect of life is a cry out for help. It's a cry for change. And when you look at what happened on that day, 9/11, that pain that we felt personally and that we felt as a nation, I think in many ways changed our lives for the better, didn't it? I know I can say that. It made you really, really pause and think about life, think about our fellow citizens in a different light. And as we move forward, I think we can probably see this demonstrated on a business level as well. We talked about Henry Flagler switching gears in 1865 before he partnered with John D. Rockefeller and created Standard Oil. As I mentioned before, and as I'm sure you're aware, he's, you know, Flagler again is known as the father of Miami, Palm Beach, and St. Augustine for creating the East Coast Railway and bringing it all the way from St. Augustine all the way down to Key West. But before he had this tremendous success and before joining Standard Oil, of course, he had failure. He and his brother-in-law had created the York Mining Company, and they did well during the Civil War, preserving that food for the soldiers out at battle. But after the war was over, his business dried up, and Flagler lost everything. He was completely broke. However, he had done some business with John D. Rockefeller over the years, so they were familiar with each other. But he was approached by Mr. Rockefeller and asked him for some money. I think it was about $100,000. And here he was in debt already, lost all of his money. He went back into the grain business after he lost his mining company and was working in that field, brokering. And he raised the money. He borrowed the money. Can you imagine giving a guy an extremely, at that time, an extremely large sum of money that had just lost all of his money. So that shows the character, doesn't it, of Mr. Flagler. And he parlayed that investment into one of the largest portfolios in the world. He became one of the wealthiest men in the world. And of course, Rockefeller was and became obviously the wealthiest, the richest man in the world. So that experience that Flagler went through, that pain, certainly it was a humiliation. He managed to pay that money back, of course, and went on to do tremendous things in the hotel business with that railway all the way down to the Keys from St. Augustine. But he experienced something that he didn't want to go through again. Failure's not fun, but it taught him some lessons that stayed with him for the rest of his life. And we're going to come back with some more examples and share some stories with you that hopefully will hit home. And we'll be right back after this message. See you then.
Did you know History Means Business membership levels are now available? As a member, you can network with like-minded people and enjoy special discounts. Gold and Platinum members will journey across America to explore the historic places found in our award-winning documentary film, History Means Business America. Visit historymeansbusiness.com for more details. Now, back to Rod.
All right, let's change gears a little bit, and how about a love story? Okay, a little less somber than our previous opening statement, segment, I should say, and I think a love story would be appropriate for now. The setting is in 1959, all right? And let's call the young man, we'll call him City Boy, and the young lady, let's call her Country Girl. Okay, here we are in an office back in 1959 in a big city in the South, and there's City Boy is standing up on a ladder when Country Girl walks in the room. They meet, their eyes locked in on each other, and it was pretty much love at first sight. So they go on their first date, and that first date winds up being a 60-year love affair. And this story began not in 1959, of course, but the genesis of the story begins in 1939. She was born in a country town in the South, and as I said, City Boy was born in a big city also in the South. Now, she was a farmer, her family, a country girl, was a farmer, and her dad moved around from place to place, never really settling down for long in one location, so she was used to moving around all over the South between Florida and Georgia. And it was hard work. She would pick cotton till her fingers bled. She was the youngest of 19 children, believe it or not, 19 kids. And out of the 19, only 9 survived. And Country Girl was the last of those 9 siblings to survive. So it was a tough life. She got up early, worked hard all day, learned to cook and do everything that a lady does in the house, plus get out there and join the boys and work the fields. Not a lot of fun, but that's all she knew, right? On the other side, City Boy grew up in that big city in the South, and his dad owned a financial services business, and he joined that business at a young age and learned the ropes as best he could as a boy. And then, as I mentioned, standing on that ladder, he was already a licensed individual in the firm. So he was on his way, and he also had a big family, all boys except one girl. And believe it or not, he, City Boy, was the youngest of all his siblings as well, as far as his father's first wife is concerned. He has a stepbrother and a stepsister that are younger than him, but and interesting to note that when one of the boys messed up and did something that was, you know, naughty perhaps, and nobody would confess it, his dad had a remedy for that. And by the way, his dad took over the job of both parents, because they were divorced when City Boy was only a young kid. I think it was about one. And so the dad took matters into his own hands, and if nobody would confess to what transpired, you know, what the infraction was, then they would all get a spanking. So he would spank them all. So that took care of that. So that gives you the flavor, you know, of the dynamics we have joining together. And by the way, he was very successful. City Boy's father was very successful in his business. Also owned cottages on the side of a mountain up in the Carolinas, and would enjoy those summer months and escape the heat from the deep South. And the country girl, not so much. No escape for her. You know, it was just, you know, every day of the week, work in the hot sun. So they meet. She's a secretary in this office, and like I said, sparks flew from the moment they met. And not before long after dating, they decide to get married, and his business continues to flourish, and she resigns from working at the office, and they start raising a family. The kids are, I would say, well behaved overall. One of them was a bit of a stinker, but other than that, they had a happy little family going on. Very successful. He got into other businesses besides that one industry that they were in, and became very wealthy. And life seemed to be good. They were very faithful, very religious, God-fearing people, and the country boy and city girl made sure that the family had a real strong connection with God, and very prayerful. So the economy really took a dive in the late 70s and early 80s, and before long, things started to unravel in City Boy's business. And it was a real nightmare. It was devastating. At this time, the kids were in school, in college, and so they weren't under their roof anymore. But try as he might, City Boy could not save the business. And I should say, plural, the businesses, like a domino effect, one after another, they all slid down, fell, and their life was turned upside down. He lost everything, wiped out, completely wiped out. It was unfathomable just a few short years earlier, but it happened. So, and it wasn't, the pain wasn't remedied overnight. It took a number of years, but City Boy stayed focused, and was internalized most of the pain, but It was tough on the marriage. It was tough on the whole family. There was a lot of pain there, a lot of loss. But they got through it. And then before long, City Boy had become a partner of the largest agency of its kind in the state of Florida. And it went on to become one of the very largest agencies in the entire nation. So, they stuck through it, they survived the pain, and then, with mental focus and faith in God, they made it through all that pain. And then, just as life was good again for a number of years, Country Girl became inflicted with a terrible mental disease, and dementia took over her mind in a very slow and methodic manner. The pain was tremendous for the family to watch this decline, as so many of you know that have experienced the loss of this terrible, gripping disease. The loss that it creates, it was just devastating. But time went on, the decline kept getting more and more rapid near the end, and Country Girl lost her life to the disease. City Boy was devastated. The love of his life was gone. The lights at the moment went out. But he hung on, stayed strong. His faith in the Lord helped him to make it through each and every day. And he's just, even as I speak, he's just turning his life around, changing his entire focus, and trying to make that pain a joy by just remembering all the quality years and all the time that they shared together, just focusing on all the things that make life great. And life was great when City Boy and Country Girl were together, and they'll be together for eternity. And the story of City Boy and Country Girl is the story of my mom. Of my mom and my dad, whom I love with all my heart. And we'll be right back after this short message.
As you listen to today's podcast, we hope you will be inspired and find helpful hints from the past, sparking your imagination and helping you find solutions to your challenge. Remember, you can visit our websites anytime, historymeansbusiness.com and rodlancemorton.com, for inspiration. Check out the trailers and clips to our award-winning documentary film, History Means Business America, with links to securely watch on Vimeo on demand. Now, back to Rod.
All right. Now, let me quickly address something I mentioned in the previous, before the break, in the previous segment. I was talking about when I mentioned a Country Girl, my mother, being in the kitchen and learning how to cook. I wasn't saying that women, I wasn't even alluding to the fact that women should be in the kitchen and the guys should be out in the field. I was talking about in her case, and also that's what the norm was at the time, obviously. So Just want to make that clear. And by the way, I cook. I find it therapeutic to cook. So, and I mentioned my parents. I told that story because I hope that it helps you to think about your story, your parents, wherever you come from, whoever was responsible for your upbringing, the key people in your life when you were young that really made that impression on you. That's our baseline, right? Our history begins with our parents, obviously. So when you think about your past and about your family, and we've talked about this before in other segments, but you know, what we learn as children is so powerful. It stays with us for good or for bad, for the rest of our lives. And you know, we create our own lives once we're out on our own, and we forge our way into this world, into this life, and we move forward, like it or not, with that past as our our roots carrying us forward. So, and I think it's important to remember the three areas that we focus on, because this is all about, again, we say this not to dwell in the past and to live in the past. That's not good. We're all about today, about planning for the future and using history as that vehicle to get us to where we want to go, and to help us to not make the same mistakes that we perhaps made in the past, or that others have made in the past, and to learn from those experiences, our own experiences, to think about those experiences and try to capitalize on that, and take that pain that we've experienced in the past and turn it into something that will create joy and circumvent mistakes along the way, and have clarity and vision based on the past. And again, the three areas of history that we focus on is the living, I call it quote-unquote living history of senior citizens. Why senior citizens? That have experienced tremendous success, and in many cases, very often, tremendous failure. How did they overcome those failures? What did they do to get past the pain in their past? So we learn from these senior citizens that have that wisdom. We learn from the pages of history, which, as Winston Churchill talks about, it's the pages of history, that's all filled with people. And these people are usually pioneers. They went out into uncharted waters and persevered. And they made it. They succeeded. So we want to find out how they did that. How did they do that? And how can I learn from what they did? All right. And then the third area, of course, we've got the senior citizens, we have the pioneers, and then our own history. And when this is kind of what we're talking about, not kind of, it is what we've been talking about, our own history, our personal history, which obviously includes our families, our immediate families, and also the business that we're in. We can learn from the history of whatever sector, whatever industry that we're in. And so the key to defining solutions to challenges that we're facing today, utilizing the three areas of history that we've just described, once again, it takes some imagination, doesn't it? Because things change, social mores change, technology changes, but the essence of being human remains constant. And so to translate what's happened in the past and make it applicable to what we are facing today does take some imagination. But when we spark that imagination, that's potent. I mean, imagination is tremendously powerful. And so how do we do that? Okay, so we want to take this into steps. We want to break. It's very simple, but I'm just reminding you, because repetition is the mother of learning, isn't it? So we want to try to get into that pioneer mindset. How did how were they thinking? Not just what were they thinking, but how were they thinking? So we need to understand the landscape, what was going on at that place and time, and what was going on in their lives, and the thought processes that they went through to bring them the results that we all know now. How did they do that? So get into that pioneer mindset, and then the next step is, how do we get into the pioneer mindset? Okay, so we study history, we study the facts, we study the demographics. One way is to get back to nature. We talk about that all the time. Get back to nature. You need to relax, enjoy nature, enjoy the history of our great country, travel, explore, go out and camp, you know, just get into that pioneer mindset and appreciate all the beauty that our world right here in America presents to us. All right, now listen, we need to take another quick break, and then we will be right back. Right back, I promise, after this quick break.
Did you know Rod also has a blog? Visit rodlancemorton.com, and while you're in there, check out Rod's exciting book, Buttonwood 24. Read the reviews and see for yourself. It's filled with Wall Street history, mystery, and romance. If you haven't seen Rod in person, his events are fun, exciting, and inspiring. Now back to Rod.
All right. Hey, listen, following up on what we were talking about before our last break, camping. If you don't like camping, hotels are great. You can get a hotel, a cabin, you know, whatever it may be, motel, you name it. They have TVs in most of those places. We have devices we carry around. Tune into the Nature Channel, right? That way you can get into that zone, get into the pioneer spirit, in the comfort of air conditioning, a hot shower, no bugs. So, whatever it takes, right? And listen, we all experience pain. It's just a part of life. And when we tackle that pain and focus on a solution, focus on the history behind whatever challenge you're dealing with. Find those individuals that have succeeded, whether it's from the pages of history, whether it's in your own history, looking back, whether it's through an elderly person that might have lived through that period of time. How did they deal with it? What did they tap into? How were they thinking? And that way, the pain isn't meaningless. Unless, you know, another way that you can handle this is just tell yourself that I love pain, right? But there's a reason for the pain, and if you're going through something that's very, very difficult, something that you feel like you're just pounding your head against the wall and nothing, it's a brick wall and nothing's happening, take a deep breath, you'll get through it. I mean, just focus on solving the problem, whatever it is, and on the other side, you'll have opportunities. The opportunities will present themselves to you, and you'll be, trust me, you'll be better off having gone through it. And so that's my two cents worth today. A lot of this is stuff that we already know. Repetition is the mother of learning, right? So learning it again, going back, tapping into the past, and the three areas of history that we discussed today. Looking at both historic and historical events really can make all the difference in the world. Speaking of historic, I just want to say, next time, not so somber of a theme, okay? In honor of 9/11, we went down this road today. I thought it was appropriate and timely. So, but next time, a lot more upbeat. And until then, remember, have a historic day. See you next time.
The copyright owner of this podcast is Morton Imagine Company.